Mike Peters, many of you will know him. I interviewed him last year of the hugely successful group The Alarm, but he's done several things as well. And his wife, Jules, joining with us on the show today. Both are cancer sufferers, yet have faced the challenges with such positivity and grace that they're an inspiration. They're also two of the busiest people on the planet in this year alone, along with the health issues and raising their two young sons. They're touring the US and the UK, releasing two new albums, promoting a full-length feature film of Mike's story, The Man in the Camo Jacket, and taking part in many walks and events for the cancer charity they started, Love, Hope and Strength. Delighted to be joining me on the line from the UK, Mike and Jules Peters. Good morning to you both.
Good morning from sunny Wales.
So it's good morning from, are you both in sunny Wales today, or are you on other parts of the UK?
Sunny Wales.
Good to have you.
Brief moment when we're home and not touring, so it's lovely to be back home.
Super. Good to have you with us. Mike, we spoke at the end of November, wasn't it, when you released your single In the Poppy Fields. What's been happening for you since then?
Well, since then we dived headlong into Jules's cancer diagnosis. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she'd been having all her chemotherapy and radiotherapy treatment right through into 2017. So that's been the dominant feature of our lives. And a successful story to tell, which has been seen on the BBC documentary, Mike and Jules, While We Still Have Time. But we're able to create music during that time as well, so we're able to turn things around, keep life positive.
But Jules, you've nursed Mike through a lot of his cancer treatments, because he's been suffering from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I believe. How did you come across your own diagnosis and find out that you were suffering from the illness?
Yeah, well, cancer's been part of my life since I was 29, the last 20 years. And it's blessed our lives in a weird way. I think you just appreciate every single day. But nevertheless, I was completely shocked to find a lump in my breast a few days after I'd climbed Snowdon, our highest mountain here in Wales. We'd taken 1,000 people up the mountain for our charity, Live Hope Strength. And I've always checked myself, but I think I must have just checked myself a little deeper, found a lump. But the good news is I went to my GP the next day. By the following week, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was absolutely devastated, I'll be honest, and you can see that in our documentary about how I dealt with it. It's been a grueling 10 months, but, you know, it's 10 months. It's been 10 months out of my life, and thanks to the NHS, I'm hopefully fixed, and I've finished all my treatment, which was very, very tough going, but I've come through it stronger than ever. So as much as, you know, for everybody out there, for women that are going to be following in my footsteps, sadly, you know, one in eight women get diagnosed with breast cancer. I was this very fit and healthy woman. I was running 3 or 4 miles a day. I couldn't believe it that I was diagnosed, but there is hope out there. You know, so I say to people, make sure you check yourself. You don't necessarily have to feel your breasts. I'd say look in the mirror, just look into the mirror and hold your arms up and see if there's any slight changes. And if there are, go to your doctors and you will get fixed. There's an amazing setup here in the UK for breast cancer diagnosis.
Mike, you've been fighting this disease for 20 years now. What was your reaction when you found out that, you know, the woman who had been supporting you through this period was herself suffering from it?
Well, it was a shock, because you think that as the husband, the father in the family, that you're there to shoulder that burden. So when it was came to be something that Jules would have to face, it was a real shock. But I think because we have the experience of going through cancer with myself, it did give us a certain amount of armoury to be able to help in the situation. So we just tried to remain calm, really, and deal with things as they occurred, rather than letting the fear of what might happen or what could happen take hold of us. And I have to say, Jules is incredibly strong throughout it all. She's very motivated to stay fit and to stay strong throughout the whole procedure, and she's a real credit. And as a man, it was a real eye-opener to see what a woman has to go through to survive a breast cancer diagnosis and the whole experience that goes with it. And, you know, Jules was very brave, allowing the cameras to show exactly what goes on. They became with her to the surgeries. They were allowed in places even I couldn't go as a husband. So it, even seeing the film was a real shock as well for me. And but I'm so proud of her for what she's done and what she's done for others through allowing her story to be told.
Were you expecting this is to both of you really, were you expecting the outbreak, the outpouring of support that came when this film aired a couple of weeks ago?
I've been very humbled and overwhelmed by the support, but I think I've been very straight, you know, with my local community. Mike and I live somewhere where we were both born and where we grew up, and you step out the door and you're just engulfed in love and big hugs and, you know, how you doing? And that has really helped me get through. It helped me through all my chemotherapy, the smiles, the beeping of the horns. I walk 10 miles to my radiotherapy and back to stay focused and be mindful. And the outpouring since we showed the documentary last week has just been incredible, not only from Wales, but from the alarm community, friends far and wide. And I think, you know, after everything that happened in Manchester on Monday, people have felt united by, I think people just realise it's love that gets you through. And nowhere can you see it more strongly than with Mike and I and what we've been through. But each day we get through it because people are so kind and show so much love towards us.
I mean, the pair of you have been fighting this disease in one form or another for a very long time now. Do you think that one of the things that if somebody here listening to on the station were to be diagnosed with a form of cancer, one of the things that perhaps is the things that polarizes them, that lays them flat, is that fear, that uncertainty about the process they're about to go through. And programs like yourselves, like the ones that you've just done, make it easier for those who are facing their own battles.
Yeah, I really hope so. And I think Polax is a fantastic word to use. That's exactly how you feel when you get a diagnosis. But I think probably I had experience of seeing Mike go through various treatments. And you know, I want to put that message out there. I mean, Mike and I have a great life, a really exciting life. So for us to be able to cope with it, for people out there who are going to face a diagnosis after us, once you've got over that Polax feeling, pick yourself up, stay busy, try and get out, try and walk, and try and relax into it. All things must pass. That's how I helped. Because boy, oh boy, did I have some meltdowns, you know, where I just wanted to kneel down and weep. I felt so upset about the whole thing. But I kept thinking, look, small steps, things will be okay. All things must pass. Tomorrow's another day. And you get through. So people listening in, I think my main message is just to say, if you feel like there's something not quite right, don't be afraid. Go to the doctors and face up to it. And there is treatments out there. You know, when Mike was diagnosed with leukemia, I was a really frightened young girl and thought I was going to lose him. But look at the incredible treatments that have come through now over the last 21 years. And here he is, living with leukemia. He's the hardest working man in rock. We have the busiest life ever because his doctors have been able to treat him to allow him to live the life the way he wants to live it. And boy, does he live it.
That's one of the things I was going to say about the pair of you, because, you know, when people get diagnosed with any illness, a lot of them just sort of sink back and go, right, well, I can't do anything now because I've been diagnosed with an illness, so I'm going to sit here and do nothing and just let it all wash over. You guys, I mean, you're doing more work than most people that we know who are don't have this diagnosis. I mean, how do you do it?
I know for Mike, that's what kept him positive and focused. When he was diagnosed with leukemia, he told me he made me so mad because he wanted to continue gigging through his chemotherapy, and I was really cross about that, and I wanted him to stay home and you know, be wrapped up in cotton wool. And then I realised that is not the way that I'm not, each to their own, obviously. This is just the way Mike and I are dealing with it, but it's really helped us. It's helped me so much to stay busy. If I'd have just stayed home, you know, I carried on working through the diagnosis. I would come in for my chemotherapy and then go straight out and go for a 5-mile walk during the chemo, and I was able to cope with it, you know, and it kept my spirits up. I strongly believe that if you keep communicating with your community and your friends and have things to do, have treats to look forward to, you can get through everything pretty much. And I learnt my lesson to do that from Mike, who has always shown incredible fortitude and bravery.
Mike, I was just going to say, Mike, I mean, was your immediate reaction to want to, you know, wrap your wife up, wrap Jules up in cotton wool? I know that you've been out sort of gigging with the alarm when you had your own diagnosis.
Yeah, well, there was an element of that, but I think it's more I wanted to protect Jules, but I think to protect you have to face up to the reality of what lies ahead, and I think we both represent the new generation of people who will have to face cancer, certainly those coming into it ahead after us, and we're trying to show that it doesn't have to be like you think it was, like you don't have to lie down and stay in bed for 3 months because you've got cancer now. The drugs are there to counteract the side effects, they're there to keep you going. There's a lot of mental preparation you can do to stay strong, and that's really down to just keeping the life you want to live together, and don't let cancer take a second away from you. And we're both advocates of that. And we, by telling our story, we can show people they can come through. Everyone's got a fighting chance of cancer now. If they get in early, if they respond to the signs in their body and act quickly and get their doctors involved, then everyone can win to a degree.
And also, the other thing is the fact that you couldn't really wrap yourself in cotton wool and go away and hide in a dark room for a couple of months, because you've got two energetic, you've got a family, you've got two boys.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That changes everything, and I say that in the documentary. You know, Mike and I went through a lot of fertility treatment for our two little fellas, Dylan and Evan, and I think we dealt with that very privately. We didn't tell anybody what was going on, and it was probably tougher for me as a woman to go through than breast cancer. I think that's why I've been able to cope with breast cancer, because I was devastated at the thought of not becoming a mother. And so when I went through IVF and went through all the disappointments of it, we had four complete attempts to get pregnant, and it was over 2 years, and it was very arduous. But when we were coping with failure, if you like, we were able to just disappear and put the quilt over our heads, and you know, we used to like watching 24 in real time and just cut off from the world to get over our hurts and upset. But of course, when you're parents, you can't do that. You've got to keep on going, and in one way it's very good because it keeps you upbeat and positive, but I personally found that quite hard going, to still have to be the mother going through breast cancer and to be upbeat and do all the things that you have to do with your kids. So it was a double-edged sword, but it was nice to have Mike home, you know, because obviously we do a lot of touring, and we do a lot of touring together as a family. But I think my breast cancer treatment meant that Mike was home. He immersed himself in writing his new record here in North Wales, but he was home every day. He was home with the kids, playing footy in the back garden, and they have absolutely loved it. So again, you know, positive things come out of negative situations, and I think that's what we tried to do when we were faced with the diagnosis. And, you know, let me say, we were both absolutely devastated when I got diagnosed. We couldn't believe it was happening to us. I think we always assumed that, you know, one in two people get diagnosed with cancer, and that Mike was our one in two. So dealing with complete devastation, but we turned it around, I think, by saying, right, let's turn it into positive. Let's enjoy this time at home with the kids. And I think it's going to be hard for Mike to go away on the road, which is why we're all going together. So on July the 4th, we all head off to America on a tour bus with the band. Luckily, our band are very kind and understanding, and we've got Dylan and Evan coming with us, and they'll be fully-fledged road crew by the time we finish the tour, and come back on September the 1st.
Oh, superb. I mean, I've just seen one of them's already got a T-shirt I saw saying the lads were confused as to where the tour bus had gone, which I think is a brilliant T-shirt. Listen, talking about touring and talking about getting on the round with the alarm, one of the things that, because I interviewed you, Mike, in November when your record in the Poppy Fields came out, I wasn't aware of the sense of community that the alarm had, and the fact that there, you know, there is that we use that word in the beginning of the interview, community, with the alarm. I mean, the support of the general public, but more specifically of, you know, the fans of the band who have stuck with you for, and it hurts me to say it, 30 years, because it seems like yesterday when I was bopping away to 68 going into these two tracks. You know, what's that been like, you know, over the past couple of years with your illness, but also with Jules's diagnosis?
Yeah, it's sustained not just us as a family and a community, but the music as well. You know, the fact that we've got such dedicated audience, and we've worked hard to keep everyone together as a real family. You know, on our first album, Declaration, when that came out in 1985, we dedicated it to the family, and that meant our fans. And we have an event called The Gathering every year, which we've now run for 25 years, and that's a real physical manifestation of the relationship we have with our audience, where everyone comes to Wales. The fans do all the touring, they get on the planes, and they do all the hotels and the travel, and we stay at home and put an amazing show for them. But it means we get to meet them and mingle them outside of being on the stage or across the barrier. And some of our fans we've known all our lives, you know, we've known them since it began, this thing called The Alarm, and they're a real part of it. And so that's helped us to keep relevant as a band, because they're always demanding new music. They don't just want to hear the old songs. They allow us to flourish as musicians and songwriters and performers, and they go with the changes. And we've been very fortunate to have that relationship, and it stood us in good stead. I said on the stage just recently, when one of us hurts, we all hurt, and that really sums up the relationship we have with our audience.
Jules, if anybody's taking anything positive about this, or if you were going to give some advice to anybody who thinks that they might be they may have a history of cancer or whatever, presumably you would say, you know, women, check yourself out, and men, check yourself out as well.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, I've grown up in a world of cancer, so I'm used to going into hospitals, and I think it was probably, you know, the lump that I found had obviously been in my body for quite some time, because they eventually found three lumps, three areas of disease. If you watch the documentary, you see the process. You know, it's not just doom and gloom about finding the lump. It's quite an interesting process as to how it all unfolds and how you can't rush the doctors and while they're testing you and biopsying you. But I think I was surprised that I hadn't found it earlier, is probably what I'm trying to say, considering I'm surrounded by cancer. So I think my advice to women is, I don't think you necessarily always feel it by touching your breasts. By all means do that, but I found that once I found it, I found a very small lump on my nipple, and which again, it didn't leap out at me that it was a problem. But when I looked in the mirror, and so that's my advice to women, is to just, you know, don't be afraid. Just take 2 seconds, maybe once a month, to just look at yourself in the mirror, hold your arms up, and usually if there's something amiss, you can see, and it doesn't always mean it's breast cancer. That's the main thing to be aware of. But if you can at least maybe see some changes in your breasts, which means you should go and speak to someone. And what is amazing about the breast cancer diagnosis and the experience is it's very, very caring towards the patient. So ideally you go in and it's a couple of hours of different procedures. But you know what? By the end of the 2 hours, they can pretty much say, yes, you most likely do have breast cancer, or no, it was a cyst. And you walk away, you know, at least knowing. So it's a very, very considerate process. So don't be afraid. That's what I'd say. Don't be afraid. Act and make that appointment.
If people want to find out what you are up to, because you guys are up to so many different bits and pieces, what's the easiest way to get in contact with you? Follow you on social media, or is there a website for you for Love, Hope and Strength?
Yeah, the best place is there.
Time, please. Jules first.
You go ahead, mate.
Okay, well, thealarm.com is the obvious place to start. Thealarm.com is where everything starts with The Alarm and the music. And then it spins off into lovehopestrength.org or lovehopestrength.co.uk. They're both places that you can find out about what we do, saving lives one concert at a time.
Jules, we're going to run out of time, but any more words to the listening public there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very active on social media, and I feel very passionate about helping women that are going to be following in my footsteps. So please, if anyone has any questions, reach out. I'm on Twitter, Jules Peters. I'm on Facebook, Jules Jones Peters. Send me an email, and I'll do my best to help you out and put you in the right direction. But if you get a chance, please watch our documentary, Mike and Jules, while you still have time. You can see it on the iPlayer. It's had the most incredible response, and it also shows, you know, it's not all about cancer. It just shows about our life and how we involve living in North Wales, which is where our heart is. But we love travelling, and we love living. Yeah, as we say, every second counts. We love living our life to the full. So hopefully you'll enjoy the documentary.
I'm sure we will. It's been great to speak to you both this morning. Mike and Jules Peters, have a great time on tour with the family in the States. And take care, and we'll speak very, very soon.
Thank you.
Have a night.